I'm Laura Seipert, and this is episode 12, The Power of Lyrics with Lesia Bonn.
If you are a voice teacher or a choir teacher who sometimes sees your students struggling with mindset or mental health, and you want to know how you can better help them, then this podcast is for you. I'm Laura Seipert. I'm a voice teacher and a board-certified music therapist. Welcome to the Mindful Voice Teacher Podcast.
Hello, wonderful listener. How are you? If you're like me and listening to this in real time, then we are just finishing our celebrations of this holiday season 2022. For me, yesterday was Christmas Day, and I'm looking at this week in preparing for the new year coming. This is a special episode that I'm sharing with you today because it's a little different from my past episodes. This is especially great for choir directors because Lesia Bonn shares her story about directing a choir. And if you're a voice teacher, don't stop listening here because there are some really great stuff in here for you too. I loved this conversation with Lesia as she shared her stories, her experiences, and I really think that you're going to enjoy it too. She shares the power of lyrics and songs, as well as songwriting, and how the creative process can be so important for your students. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Lesia Bonn. Today, I have on the podcast Lesia Bonn. Welcome to the Mindful Voice Teacher Podcast, Lesia.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
This is so fun to have you on because honestly, I found you just through Facebook, one of those voice teacher Facebook pages, and you said some things that were really profound to answer a question that was asked. And I kind of just was like, she seems like she knows what she's talking about. And so I just kind of took note, put it in the back of my brain. This was even before I even had this podcast. And then when I was thinking about different guests I could have on, I thought about you and the thoughtful way that you answered these questions. And so now here we are. This is just so fun to be able to talk with you in person and to hear a little bit about your story.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here. I wonder what I said.
I think the question was about how can we help shy students?
Oh, okay.
Something like that. I can't even remember either, but I just remember
that's my ballpark. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Your answers were just so profound. I was like, she knows what she's talking about. Other people need to hear what you have to say. So, Lesia, let's first talk about your story. How did you come to music? Because you are not initially a voice teacher or a choir instructor. You are a songwriter as well as a counselor. So tell me a little bit about your story. What led you to songwriting, counseling, and then transitioning into being a teacher?
Oh, okay, cool. I come from a family full of classical musicians, and I was a little prodigy on the piano. Nobody asked me if I wanted to play. I just happened to be good at it. So it was like, this is what you're going to do. Mm. Russian, Ukrainian family, very traditional history of classical musicians. My sister was the concertmaster of the St. Louis Symphony, that kind of thing. My mom runs a music and arts conservatory. And so I went all the way to Curtis Institute, which is kind of like a mini version of Juilliard in Philly. Mm. I got there, and I really just wanted to write songs. And I started writing songs when I was 12. I was in junior high. I picked up the guitar, which to this day, I don't play very well. I play piano. Mm-hmm. But it just seemed simpler to write songs on guitar. Mm-hmm. I was 12. I wrote a song. I was in a talent thing at school. And a teacher walked up to me and said, "Where'd you get that great song?" And I said, "I wrote it." He goes, "No, seriously."
Wow.
And I got a lot of that. I always just could write songs. So when I went off to school and nobody was standing over me telling me to play Beethoven, I immediately started going towards my passion. And for me, being a little bit of a scatterbrain personality and in the moment, songwriting is just a way of focusing. So if I would have something dramatic happen to me, if I would write a song, my head would be cleared and I'd go, oh, I get it. It was like little fairies talking to me. So this went on. And in my 20s, I had some really wonderful opportunities as a singer-songwriter, but I'm very much, I wanted to be a stay-home mom and singing the song on the road, same song, year after year, because now it's a hit. Now you have to sing it again and again and again. Was not a lifestyle that looked like fun to me. I just want to have kids and whatever. So when I had my kids, I started selling little albums, and I actually wrote kid songs because I had kids and it was just something new to do. Mm-hmm. But when my kids were older and I ended up with my choir, which I'll explain in a minute, all of a sudden I had these teenagers with issues. Everybody walked in with issues and they had to talk about it. And it was all about so-and-so said this to me and my mother said this to me and it, oh my God, on and on and on and on. And I ended up saying, well, you know, and then I would say something, they would go, oh my God, which translated into me writing songs for the kids that we recorded, which translated later, years later, into me selling those songs to other teachers who now use them with their kids, which is so random because it was never planned. It was absolutely not planned. My choir, at the time I was a single mom and I was bored on a Sunday morning. And this was before I started writing for my kids. And I thought, I'm teaching all these kids and most of them are teenagers. So what would happen if I just threw them in a room? They're from all over town. All, you know, I had from goths to cheerleaders to brainy kids and hip hoppers. Mm-hmm. I had everybody, country people that had grown up in Tennessee. But the one thing they had in common is that they loved to sing. So I said, okay. So I started out, I think we had about 18 kids. We grew to about 25. But they fell in love with each other and they would sit on the floor and I would give them meaningful songs. I would only give them things that were about life, that were clever, funny, serious, but with deep lyrics. Mm-hmm. Very seldom what was out there already because we all heard it already. I actually gave them the Dixie Chicks, which they thought was funny because none of them were into country as far as the music. And then we would arrange the songs ourselves as a group. And we had no written music whatsoever. It took off.
Wow.
So it got to the point, and this is just a side note, but I at the time, I lived in this house. Next door, there were some teenage boys. So many of the girls in our, it was mostly girls, a couple of really good looking guys, actually. the girls would walk parade in on Sunday morning, a lot of tall blondes, so many pretty girls. It was like insane. One morning, a group of teenage boys was sitting there waiting to look at all the girls. Oh, and no. While we were singing, one of them actually walked up to the window and peeked in. Everybody's cracking up. So it was just a very cute, loose, happy, unchoir-like choir that the kids actually called church because they said their place where they could just be. And there was a few times where a girl would come in crying from some drama and we would just stop everything and take care of her.
Oh,
that was very, very cool. And then as I did more and more counseling, I ended up writing more and more songs. And then some of the girls had really great voices and a lot of them came from wealthy families. And it was down in Santa Barbara and famous families. And so there was financing. If I wrote a song for a kid, the parents would pay for it.
Wow.
We had Justin Timberlake and Alicia Keys' drummer play for us. And I'm a keyboard player, so I don't need to hire anybody for that. And I just produced all these songs. But it was just for fun. And then they almost had a TV show made about us. We had the meeting, the whole thing. I didn't promote it. Somebody found us. But Glee got there with writers first. Or we would have been like a famous choir based on my songs because Hollywood liked my songs.
That's
so
amazing.
It turned into this whole snowball thing. It was never planned. We sang, but we also talked a lot.
Yeah.
There was a lot of therapy.
That's
like
so
some moms would call me up and say, I don't want my daughter to sing today. You just cheer her up, whatever you say to her. She's had a bad day. Just, I don't care if she sings. So it was really a big mix of everything.
Wow. Wow. That's cool. Amazing.
I used to tell this to the girls. I think, like, one of the moms said to me, they listen to you because they think you're one of them. There's something about you where nobody believes your age if you tell them, because there's just something about the way you behave. You're not trying to be one of them. You just have their humor. And I think, and I used to tell them, they'd say, you're so wise, you're our Yoda. I quote you to all my friends. And I said, well, you realize I read psychology books, right? You realize I'm not like a genius. You realize that, like, I spend the time trying to make myself more mindful. And at the time, the word mindful was not a word that everybody used, but that really wasn't what it was. And I actually had one girl on video. I said, you tell people that my wisdom comes from books. Mm. And everybody needs to do their research. And it isn't just like I'm a child, you know, I'm a genius. Is that I really took the time to figure out how to manage my reactions and how to understand other people. And now I'm passing it on to you through songs and through advice, but I wasn't born knowing this stuff. Because, wow. And with the songwriting, I had them stand by me as I worked on songs for them, so that then they could go and they would know how I work, so they could go write their own songs.
Wow, that's such a gift to give to them. I love your story, and I think it's so amazing that you never went into it with a specific game plan, is what it sounds like. That you just followed your own personal gifts, your own intuition, and you just let it lead you to the next step and the next step and next step. And by doing that and just being open, it sounds like you created this amazing experience for yourself and for these teenagers.
I used to cry, and I would like play keyboard while they were singing. And I was just, their voices were, well, you know this, you have a room full of teenage voices. And then they're singing like the coolest song. The moms would come up to me and say, you know, they like your songs the best. I said, yeah, but we didn't even start out with my songs. But just this, any song that has something to say, and then you put teenage voices on it, and they arrange it themselves as a group. Wow. And I would just lose it. I was like, why are you crying? Because it's so cool.
I know, especially like seeing teenagers, that creative spark in them come alive.
Yeah.
And they get excited about it, and they're able to create it and put their own stamp on it. It's just like, it really is pretty amazing.
One of the moms who was in the movie business at one point at a concert came up to me and she goes, you know, the girls are talented, but you are like, the whole package, why don't you record your own songs? Why aren't you doing it? I said, you don't understand how fun it is to give Fearless to one girl, and now 10 more girls want to go in and record it. And every girl that records it puts her own thing on it. That's so much more fun.
Yeah.
You know, it just, and that's what you say about teaching. I don't really think of it as teaching, but it kind of is, because they learned, like when we would do a choir arrangement as a crew, we had girls that were knock your socks off singers. They're just, their voices. And then we had girls that could barely hold the tune. They were terrible. Not too many, but we had some. You know what? When we sang as a choir, everybody got within the concert a solo on a verse, and then the choir did the choruses and the bridges. And it didn't matter. We would pick the voice that fit the song, that enhanced the message of the song. Nobody cared how polished that singer was. They only cared. The girls learned that it's the song comes first, and what you're saying. And sometimes it was the girl with the least, the least polished voice that made the song come alive.
Wow.
Then all the egos are out the door because they get it. You know, that it's about art, that it's not about, look how I sing.
Exactly.
So yeah, it was very cool.
So how often did you guys rehearse as a choir?
Every Sunday morning.
Every Sunday. It was like going to church then. Uh-huh.
And the moms would tell me, like, my daughter doesn't get up for anything. She gets up for crew. She is not going to miss crew.
It was really cool.
I was in my house. So all I had to do is clean my house.
There's nothing like having a group of teenagers coming to your house that's more of a motivator to make sure it's
It was
clean.
really funny because I never wanted daughters. I wanted sons, and I was scared of having daughters. And I'd always gotten along better with, like, I had male friends, and this whole idea of being in a clique, and I just, and I ended up luckily with two sons, but then I ended up with an entire house full of teenagers for years and years. They were mostly female,
Wow.
and it worked.
That's so awesome.
So you said about the planning, what is it? Man plans and God laughs. I did not end up with two teenage daughters. I ended up with like 100 through the years, but it worked.
It worked. You were open to it and it worked.
Yeah.
Love that. So, Lesia, tell me more about these songs that you wrote with your girls. What were some of those topics that the songs cover, as well as what did that songwriting process look like when you did it with
That's an easy one because those are fun. Okay. I had a redheaded girl for years. Her name was Maddie. And she looked like a Maddie. She was awesome. And she, right when she's about 13, 14, every time she came in for a lesson, she'd be mad at somebody. It was just, I'm mad at my mother, I'm mad at my boyfriend, I'm mad at my best friend. And she would just always be in these moods. Now, luckily, she was never mad at me, but I kept hearing about it and hearing. Finally, when she came in, I said, Maddie, I think you're just habitually angry. I think your mind just, you need something to fix. And I'm not going to tell you like you need a shrink because I don't think you do. I just think you have a bad habit. And I said, I think you have monkeys in your head. And she goes, I do not. I do not. And then she stops and she's like, wait a minute, what's a monkey? And I said, well, there's this like meditation thing and I don't meditate. I found it in a book. Remember the book thing? I found it in a book. But there's this thing about the monkey mind. It always has to be busy. And I just think you have monkeys. I think you just think a thought that makes you mad and then you find a target. I could be wrong. And she said, well, I don't know about that, And we just kind of laughed about it. Then she comes back a week later and she's all smiles and she says, I've been paying attention. I have monkeys. We need a monkey song. So we have a monkey song. It's like incredible. She came in and wrote one. I wrote one for her to record, and she helped me, like with ideas and stuff. And we recorded that one, and now I have another one that's called Messy that is more of a mature version of the same idea. But that was how. That's my favorite story because there's so many teenagers walking around, especially 13 and 14, with this like, who can I hang my anger on, and it's just hormonal. It's just hormones. It's your estrogen dropping, girl.
All those monkeys.
All those monkeys. And then there was another song, which is completely the opposite. This was the only time we had an issue in all the years was a girl that I had from scratch. She came in at 10, and she had all these. She was a very popular girl and she had all these friends and she brought them to crew with her. But she was famous in school for being hated by teachers because they called her a terrorist. And
Wow.
everybody told me that she was easier on me than anyone else. But she had a thing about controlling the room. And she, for a year and a half, it was everything was fun except Jenny would do something. Jenny would do something. Jenny would do something. And finally, I kicked her out. And I wrote a song called Special, and it was a very serious song. And I wrote it for me because I was so aggravated that this girl would need to control such a happy room. And it didn't even make sense why she was so disrespectful. And I talked to a shrink at her school later, and he goes, no, she's just that, that's just her. And I said, I know, but still, but out of this angst that was actually personal to me, I wrote the song Special. And only if you knew, you really paid attention, would you know it had to do with her because it's very universal. And it's about how everybody wants to feel special. So they try to figure out how they can feel, they pick a genre, they pick an opinion. Right now, with everything so polarized, are you this? Are you that? Are you this? That's kind of what it's about. It became the most popular with my choir song. Nobody knew it was her.
Wow.
In 10 years. And it was the hardest song to sing, and you'll appreciate this, because it had so many frigging S's in it.
All the hissing snakes.
Girls and at the end it with a s. Right? So you have this serious song with these gorgeous lyrics, and it was just funny. And one of the girls, so it was hard to pull off. And then we did it in concert, and we were all holding our breaths because it was that hard to pull off, right? With the S's. We never got it right in rehearsal, but it was so popular. And the only time we ever got it, we nailed it.
Wow.
Was at the concert. And we had sold out concerts twice a year. People had to get reservations like 2 months ahead. They were that popular. And one of the girls who was in crew forever said to me at the end, when she graduated and went off, she said, "You know, my favorite concert ever was when we sang Special, because we sang Special."
Wow.
And every girl came in and said, "You know, this reminds me of," and had some kind of story to attach to it. But I just feel like there were fairies on my, like people say, "Oh, how did you come up with this song?" And I go, "Well, I never come up with the best ones. It's just, if you write, you write." It's like little fairies tap you and you're like going, you know, which is why I probably related to the teenagers, right? Because I have big feelings. And you put them into a song and then you're better.
Wow.
So that's kind of how they got started. And then I would pick the voice that matched the song to record. Or I would write a song. Like, this is a good story. I wrote a song about mindfulness for a girl with a loopy voice. She earned it, but she sounded like Betty Boop. You could not, she talked kind of like this and she sang kind of like this. And she just had this loopy voice, and I could get her to sing her vowels right. I mean, right. I could get her to soften her vowels. I could get her not to enunciate in a way that was weird. I could get her to sing really, really by the book, lovely, right? But it wasn't her. She'd just go right back. And at a certain point, I went, "I'm just writing for her." And I wrote her this song about mindfulness, and she sang it in her loopy voice. And I thought, the only thing is, she's 14, and this is kind of a deep subject. I think that it's got cute little rhymes in it, but what it actually says is be in the moment, which for a 14-year-old, they kind of are. They're not going to really relate to this. It's my top, besides Fearless, my most popular song right now online with all the kids, guess what? In third grade.
Wow.
Isn't that bizarre?
I never, in my wildest dreams,
thought that song for Zoe would end up in Detroit with these urban kids, boys, discussing why it means so much to them. And they're going to put their phones down. That's been really interesting.
That is amazing, Lesia. One thing I love about what you're saying is that you used the songs that you wrote to help meet the girls where they were at, whether it be vocally or mentally, emotionally. You're able to create songs that validated them and helped them to know that who they are as a person is worthy and unique and special and worth celebrating. And that is one thing that I believe music can do for people, is allowing people to be who they are. I like how you said that you tried to help her sing beautifully and then she would just go back to her way that she loves singing. And sometimes in our minds as teachers, we have specific goals and specific ways that we want, but some of the most unique voices that are out there today end up being iconic. You know, you think about like Robin Williams or even Idina Menzel, or, you know, people that have these unique voices that we wouldn't want them to be any different, right?
No, that's the whole point, is it right? That they are who they are. I wrote another song for her that was very technical and really punchy. And she recorded it, and she blew me away with her natural technique. When you just let her sing how she sings, she had chops. When you started messing with her, and I know the engineer said to me, well, she's not a real singer because she has that Betty Boop sound. And I said, she is a real singer. Look at her. She sings circles around some of the girls with the gorgeous voices. She could just pop here, pop there, go over here, and all on pure instinct. So like you said, why is that not a singer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that you're able to find a place for her in your choir. I know also a lot of choir directors, they want unified sounds, which is a wonderful and beautiful thing to want to achieve. But at the same time, being able to find a way to celebrate the uniqueness of each individual is also as equally, if not more beautiful in my mind.
There, one of the parents said to me once, she said, you know, you shouldn't even call your concerts or performances because they just feel to everybody like a big party. That was the biggest compliment.
That's amazing.
We had dads coming in and brothers coming in and siblings all helping out, like guitar or sax solo by dad or
That's so fun.
I think I just changed the subject on you, but yeah. Sorry. Segue.
No, I love it. I love the idea of having a party for a concert. I think that's the best way to do concerts, right?
Yeah.
So now tell me a little bit about these girls and were they able to generalize some of these experiences that they were having with you and with these songs into their life? How did it maybe change them in a way that went beyond the group?
There was one girl, this is how I came up with the bully thing. Right now we are, if I would have said life skill songs, nobody would have clicked on our website. Mm-hmm. Bully is a trending term. I don't have the word bully in a single song. I would never write a song specific, right? My songs are just life skill songs, but it was shorthand. And the way thinking that down that direction came was I had a girl, Ryan, who'd gone through a lot of operations. And she had something called Vedder's disease, the sweetest girl ever. And she told me once, I had this song called Sour Grapes, and it's just a funny, smart-ass kind of song. But it just basically says, don't spoil my mood. I've got a few of those. And she was singing it at a lesson, and she said to me, you know, I have to tell you this. Whenever kids tease me at school, I just sing this song in my head. And I just think they're idiots and I walk away and I don't care because I have the song. And I went, I think I should start writing songs for kids. But I had, you know, that kind of thing. I had stories like that where kids were just saying, I had a girl before there was ever Shake It Off and Let It Go. Mm-hmm. I had a teenage girl who, by the way, now has an acting company. She's amazing. But she walked in and she said, my mom is being unreasonable. I think that she's hormonal. I think it has something to do with her unreasonable, because all I did was drop a towel in the bathroom and she's just losing it. So I did a song in my head so that when she gives me grief, I don't yell back. Yeah. Now, this was before Shake It Off, right? She goes, well, you write me a song. So I wrote her a song called Whatever, Whatever Feels Better. And we had that way before the other songs. And she recorded it. It was great. And the moms thanked me because they thought it was for them to sing to their daughters. But I had one Asian woman come knock on my door and she goes, I've never done this, but I want to thank you for that. So I think that's how those songs extend, is that I think that more and more now main artists are starting to do what I've been doing all along, which is just put it in the song, you know, and then you take it with you. You know, you take that idea with you. You take that new perspective with you. You think about monkeys. I mean, my own husband, when I wrote the monkey song, started saying to me, oh, I guess that's a monkey in my head, huh? You know, you just start using the terminology. And the girls told me that's basically your songs are saving my life, a lot of them.
Wow. Pretty cool. That is so cool. That's, I think, one of the amazing things about songs is it's one of those things that we want to hear the words over and over again.
Yeah.
If it's a song that we like, and it's a way of memorizing and really internalizing the messages that we want. Exactly. And so I think, like, for me, I love beautiful, meaningful songs, as well as I've written vocal warm-ups with positive affirmations for that purpose, because it's a positive message that you're telling to yourself, and you can sing it over and over again. It's music has a way of getting deeper into our brains than just spoken word does.
I was on the telephone with somebody that I work with, and she's got this great voice, but she had this personality of telling you how, giving you half, and she owned it. She used to say it in passing. That's how she controls her environment. I mean, this is a very sweet person, but we were in a conversation and she told me half, and I was just like, it got under my skin. And so I wrote this song to calm myself down from her perspective, for her to record, not to change her, not thinking I'm going to write words that make her trust the world more. Mm-hmm. I just wrote it because I write, and it just was there. And what I did differently in this particular song that I'm very proud of is in the middle, I wanted to do a We Are All Love hidden into, tucked into the words, so that when people sang the song, it was an affirmation. And it really didn't have anything to do with the front of the song. I just tucked it in. That's my, oh yeah. So anyway, I sang it to my husband. I said, this is going to be my top song of my life. This is the song. And he just kind of looked at me and went, he's an engineer. And he went, it's a little introspective, isn't it? It's been my top song. But the thing you said about writing in affirmations, the first, it's called Fearless. And the first part is just about trusting and having an innocence in your trust. But the middle verse talks about, I see parts of me in you and you and me. So it gets really universal. And now when I get this most insane thank you on the song, I like cry, because I realize that all these people are singing that information. It's not even a song. And I just tucked it in there. I just tucked it in. You know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, my goodness. I love, oh, I'm getting goosebumps over here just hearing you talk about these songs. And it's just resonating so deeply with me, because I can think back on so many times in my life where a song has saved me, and where a song has been exactly what I needed to, to feel the way I needed to feel and move to a healthier place.
Right.
And I love that you have recognized that in your own music and recognized what your students and yourself needs, and created songs that did just that, helped you to move to a place that is healthier, with a healthier mindset. And that's just so beautiful. So first, Lesia, I'm very interested in your songs and hearing them and possibly using them with my own students. And I'm sure that you listening are also probably very interested as well. They sound amazing. So how do we access the music for these songs?
Okay, that's easy. I have recordings of all the main songs, and they're on my website, minus a few that I'll probably get to. But some of them are lyric videos. Some of them are my kids, teenagers, actually singing the songs. Special is a telethon performance we did of the song. So just to listen to them, they are on the website. And then I got to doing sheet music. And we have band tracks that are really just the tracks that the girls sang to themselves. And all of that stuff is on Teachers Pay Teachers. I just organize it instead of putting it on a website, because I'm not very organized. It was just easier to just put it on TPT. So I put it on TPT. It's easy to find. And the last thing I did is a teacher who was a school teacher who was using my songs a lot, she did some lessons with me. And then there's Eileen Miracle has some music lessons with my songs too. So there's even lessons that go with the songs for like classes and things like that. So that's also everything. Do you know what TPT is? It's teacher.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I will include the link to your TPT page in the show notes for this podcast so that everybody can find it easily. So Leslie, you just shoot me the link after this and I can add it in.
I'll give it to you.
So as we're finishing up here, what would you say are some things that after all of these years of teaching, doing this choir, what would you recommend to choir teachers and voice teachers maybe to help their students now? If they see a student that might be struggling in any way.
I feel very, very strongly that the old fashioned way of songwriting saves people. Mm-hmm. And I think that I actually did a unit for TPT on songwriting, just to make sure there was a resource for teachers, who don't write themselves, that they can help their students write. And whenever there's a shy student who has something to say, whenever there's an anxious student, I would show them the Monkey Song. I would show them Messy, which is more sophisticated. I would show them material that, in my case, I've written it and I've recorded it with kids, right? But then say, how about you write one? How about you write one? And if a kid really, really, at least the lyrics, and if a kid really is not inclined to do that, find a song that talks about that. Mm. And find it with them. Don't, you know, so that it's not always us presenting, it's us asking. And if a kid's really shy, maybe, well, how do you think this vowel, like I used to do that, you know, should I use this word or this word? Which one sings better? And just asking their opinion, like as producers, as little producers, one of my favorite experiences is I would tell kids, warn them ahead that studio time is super expensive. Mm-hmm. When we go in there, I'm going to either tell you that was terrible. I might say it sucks. I mean, I said, or that was wonderful. There's not going to be in between. I'm not going to pussyfoot around you. We're going to laugh and it's going to be quick. So I would go in with these girls, and we had this engineer who didn't have kids, male, not married, who had a whole different persona. And I would be with the girls sewing. That sucked. Well, that was terrible. And we were in stitches, and he was like, how can you talk to teenagers? I said, because I warn them and they think it's funny. And so that element of humor, of not taking themselves so seriously, and then saying, well, what did you think of that take? And just including them more in the process. And if you have a choir, ask them what they think of a harmony, or ask them if they can make up an echo instead of just handing out pieces of paper, mm-hmm. and saying, do what somebody else made up.
Yeah.
You know, just the inclusion thing.
Mm-hmm.
Give them some power in like quiet, funny, clever, insightful ways. And they come back at you and they're like, oh, wow, I didn't know I could do that.
Wow. Wow. Leslie, this has given me so much insight, as well as just like all the feel good feelings. I really hope that you listening are able to take note of some of these things that Leslie is talking about just allowing your students to be a part of the creative process. As a music therapist, I have a great understanding that creativity is one of those ways that breathes vitality into people. Yeah, thank you. It helps to alleviate symptoms of a depression and anxiety, and really helps people to feel like they're adding purpose and meaning into the world. And anybody can be creative, especially like the musical experience with other people. Oh my goodness. I just love that you have been able to do that with your group. And I'm sure it's something that these girls remember and have taken with them throughout their whole lives. I can imagine. And I wish I could have been there to see it.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, Lesia, if there is anybody out there that wants to get in touch with you, maybe pick your brain or just chat with you, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Just on my website, it has a contact page. Right. It's very, very simple. Or they can even find me on Facebook. I have a teaching music outside the box page. I have a I Am Bulletproof Music page. So you can find me there too. But easiest thing is just the contact on the website.
Great. Okay. I will definitely send them that direction. I'll put all of this information in the show notes. So if you would like to get any of these songs or reach out to Lesia, you are more than welcome to do that. Well, do you have any last minute thoughts before we sign off today?
No, I just really liked what you said. I think she nailed it to the wall. That was it.
Yeah.
That was it. I thought that was great.
Thank you
for the great questions.
Well, Lesia, this has been such an amazing conversation. So thank you for taking the time to talk with us all today.
I was honored. Thanks so much for inviting me.
You are so welcome.
If you are wanting to spice up your vocal warm-up routine with some really fun vocal warm-ups that also help build confidence and positive mindset, then make sure to sign up for my Warm-Up Wednesday newsletter through the link in the show notes below. Also, be sure to rate, review, and follow this podcast in Apple Podcasts, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcast. And rate and review, especially if you really liked it. And if you didn't, then don't worry about it. It's all good.